My name is David Spangler, and this is a talk on subtle activism. In today's world, we're very aware of the many challenges and problems that face us. And people who are concerned often become engaged in various kinds of physical activism. They become engaged with political causes, with social and economic causes, and with causes of an environmental nature to try to change the system that is creating a lack of wholeness and causing problems for the earth and for humanity. The idea of subtle activism is not in any way meant as a substitute or a replacement for those courageous and informed actions of physical, social, economic, and environmental activism. Those are absolutely necessary, for we are physical beings, and we need to have a way of translating our concerns and our values and our vision into practical and effective physical action. The idea of subtle activism, however, arises from the fact that we are each amphibious in nature. We are partly physical, but we are also partly spiritual. We have a non-physical nature that inhabits the world in an energetic and spiritual way. But that aspect of the world that it inhabits is very different in a number of respects from the one that our physical bodies live in. It inhabits a world where distance and time operate differently, and where boundaries are configured differently, and often are not the separative elements that we encounter on the physical level. So when I look around the room and I see each of you who is here, you are distinct individuals to me. You are located in time and space by your physical bodies, just as I am. But if I look at a more energetic level, then some of those boundaries of separation begin to dissolve. We become much more permeable to each other. And my subtle energies can mix with yours in ways that can become difficult to discern whose energies they actually are. Are they originating from me? Are they originating from you? Or are they originating from someplace else entirely? The great cyberneticist and anthropologist Gregory Bateson once said that mind is not within the individual. Mind exists between us. Mind is an emergent phenomenon that arises in the spaces between things. While I might not say that that's the only place mind is, that certainly is for me a very apt description and definition. We are all part of a great sentient field of being, and each of us localizes that field, localizes that sentiency in very profound individual particulate ways. We give it specificity and cloak it with the power of agency. But at the same time, we also participate in these larger fields that unite all of us, in the mind that is between us, in what Gregory Bateson called the patterns that connect. So subtle activism is based on the idea that my energy, myself as an energy being, can participate in the commons, in the collective commons of the world, in the human commons, in the planetary commons that involves all of life, in ways that transcend the locality and limitations of my physical body. And so the quality of my feeling and thinking can go out into the world and have an effect in addition to and often far beyond the effect that my physical actions may have. So we're really looking at a complementary approach to the world and its problems. One is physical and can take the form of those various kinds of activism that we're familiar with in our culture, but the other is subtle, energetic, spiritual in nature. There's another aspect to this as well. I went through the many changes and upheavals of the 60s. I was living in the San Francisco area in the middle of the 60s when the counterculture movement began. There was the anti-war protest in Berkeley, the civil rights movement. And I remember at the time there were these great marches and protest against the Vietnam War. And observing that inwardly, even though you had people marching for peace and being activists for peace, the actual subtle energy that surrounded many of those protests and many of those individuals was not at all peaceful. It was, in its own way, as violent and in some cases as hateful as the war they wanted to bring to an end. So you had this strange dichotomy of trying to accomplish one thing on the physical level, but pulling in the opposite direction in a subtle level. And at the time, I thought how interesting and wonderful it would be if there was a kind of training for activists who wanted to go out, who could go through a contemplative or an inner training to know how to control and modulate their own energy field so that when they encountered the hostility and the opposition in the world, both physical and otherwise, they did not respond in kind, but could meet that kind of activity with an inner peace and an inner love and a capacity for blessing, which when you think about it is what great leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King and Gandhi were trying to portray, not only nonviolence in the form of civil protest, but an inner nonviolence as well, so that the subtle energy of the individual was in harmony and coherency with the outer actions. In recent years, a form of subtle activism has developed which is collective in nature. And there's been research conducted about this approach. This is where, for example, a group or an individual may call for a day of prayer or a day of meditation or silence or the coming together of people across a nation or across the world, which now, of course, is much easier, facilitated by the internet and the World Wide Web, to hold a situation in prayer and in a collective thought form of peace or blessing or healing or whatever it might happen to be. And there have been a number of examples of this in recent history, and some of them have not been deliberate acts of subtle activism, but they have been situations where some physical act, the death of Diana, more recently the death of Michael Jackson, the protest against the Iraq War before America invaded that country, where millions and millions of people around the world come together focused around a single thought or a single image or a single idea, and that generates powerful energies in the subtle realms. And if that energy is focused and held properly, it can make a difference. The challenge with collective subtle activism of that nature is in the focusing and the holding, because, again, you can have millions of people gathering and meditating at a particular time on a particular day, and that certainly generates an energy, but that doesn't mean that the subtle energies of those people are necessarily in synchronization or united. There may be different motives. Some, as I say, may come to that process very peacefully. Others may come to it out of a sense of anger or inner incoherency. But still, there's a recognition that in addition to the physical acts of an activist, there is a place for this marshaling of inner energies, of energies of thought and feeling to help shift the world, to shift humanity's consciousness, to shift the probability of events. And sometimes we don't know what the effects are. We can't see the effects on the outer. We don't see how that particular activity may or may not have made a difference. In some cases, for example, where it came to the invasion of Iraq, it did not seem to make a difference because the United States went ahead and invaded Iraq anyway. But what we don't know is what other factors may have emerged around that invasion that might have been worse had that deep movement for peace not been there. The fact is that as a culture, we are only beginning to really appreciate the subtle realms, the non-physical realms, and we don't have the protocols in place. We don't have the methodologies in place yet for adequately determining or measuring what effects are happening at that level because of inner work. My own approach to this, though, is not at the level of mass subtle activism, but rather what does the individual do? How can an individual living by himself or herself in our society make a difference? How can an individual contribute to changes and the emergence of a better world in our time through utilizing their inner capacities? To me, that is a profound and important part of the incarnational process, that we incarnate not only through physical bodies, but through the subtle fields that unite us with the world. And if we can extend our consciousness fully enough into those areas, then we become more incarnated and more effective and influential in the inner development and inner activities of the world than we might be otherwise. Now, subtle activism can engage with anything. It does not have to engage with problems or with areas of suffering or where there's a need for healing. It can just as easily be used to augment positive efforts of a whole variety of ways. So, for example, it's quite possible to use the tools and techniques of subtle activism to empower those searching for a cure for cancer, for example, or looking to develop new energy sources or systems. This particular approach is not necessarily one of dealing with problems. It can be used to deal with opportunities as well. But in my talk today, I'm going to focus on how we may use subtle activism with respect to specific problem areas that may arise, that we hear about in the news, that we see on television. A word about that. Our media has become exceptionally good at communicating problems to us because these are dramatic images, and so much of the media, particularly the news, is now visual. It's about drama. It's about engaging the emotion much more than it is engaging the mind. And at one level, that can be a real problem because we can be pulled into collective waves of fear or anger or hatred or propaganda that use the basic principles of subtle activism in negative ways. But on the other hand, if we can come to something like a news broadcast from a place of inner equanimity and peace, and from a sense of saying this is a window not necessarily into the world as it is, but into our imagination of the world. It's a window into how the world is being shaped by the filtering and editing processes of the media, which in a sense has become a kind of a low-level planetary consciousness. Then it's possible to engage with those images in ways that could be very healing and that diminish some of their negative impact and encourage the perception of a deeper truth that lies behind them. So, on the whole, I'm not somebody who feels that we should isolate ourselves from the media or from the news, but I do feel that we need to keep in mind our and monitor our response to those images and to the news in order to see how am I being affected. And if I feel that I'm being affected in negative ways or in ways that are overwhelming, then I might want to take a news fast. But in some ways, when we do subtle activism, we want to know, well, where are the areas that could use our presence, our love, our blessing, our healing, whatever. And we may find that information through all the choices of media that are now available to us through the World Wide Web, through print, through television, radio, and so on.